This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires. I'm Sherry Preston. All over the Los Angeles area, people are fleeing fast-moving fires.
I just grabbed photo albums, that kind of stuff, anything important, maybe just some clothes, you know, to prepare. I have my car packed. I have a bug out bag as well.
The flames engulfing communities like Altadena and Pacific Palisades. ABC's Matt Gutman is on the scene.
For firefighters here, there is almost no visibility. The winds here are still at about 20 miles an hour. They're going to be battling this for days. This fire is not going anywhere. And firefighters right now are strapped. There are simply too many spot fires all over the place for them to be able to contain this and try to put out the embers before the next wind event happens.
Those wind gusts, hurricane force in some places, and keeping firefighting planes on the ground. Normally, Southern California fire officials would be fighting the flames from the air, but they can't do that this time. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. There will be four candidates for La Crosse mayor this year, all seeking to replace Mitch Reynolds, who declined to run again. Christine Kahlo, Vicky Markison, Ellie McLoon, and Shondell Washington Spivey all filed their paperwork in time to appear on the ballot. There will be a primary on February 18th to narrow the field down to two candidates. There will also be a primary for City Council District 7, currently held by Matt Keel, who faces challenges from Gary Podesky and John Ryman. In addition to La Crosse's municipal elections, Onalaska will have a contested election for District 1 alderperson, as Jim Benash faces Tom Smith for the seat vacated by Sean McAllister. Only one candidate, Kathleen Lowendorf, is running to replace Dan Stevens in District 2. District 3's Stephen Knott is running unopposed. For Circuit Court, Elliot Levine and Scott Horn are running unopposed in Branches 2 and 4, while Joe Veenstra and Eric Sanford are competing for the Branch 1 seat vacated by Ramona Gonzalez. The city of La Crosse will once again take up the possibility of creating a city administrator position, the setups in other Wisconsin cities such as Kenosha, West Allis, and Sheboygan, which have a city administrator and mayor. The city administrator for La Crosse would split the current duties that are done by the mayor. The salary range for the position checks in at just under $200,000. A city council workgroup will discuss the position tomorrow before the full city council takes up the proposal at Thursday's regular city council meeting. A study on PFAS in wastewater shows an increase in the so-called forever chemicals, a concerning trend as nearly half of all drinking water in the U.S. is contaminated with PFAS. Scientists said that some of the factors for the increase include use of the chemicals in medication and the effects of drought on local water systems. Without natural water to dilute chemicals in wastewater, PFAS concentrations can be higher. The study was published yesterday in the National Academy of Sciences.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
Marquette wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a comeback win in Milwaukee over the Georgetown Hoyas. Final score 74-66. Head coach Shaka Smart.
We get down 14. We're not shooting the ball well. The zone stymied us to some extent. It would have been easy for us to get bummed out, and I thought our guys did a great job collecting each other, helping each other have the spirit that we needed to have to win the game.
NBA, the Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Five Serve Forum. Former Marquette star Jimmy Butler says he wants out of Miami, but doesn't want the Heat to trade him to Milwaukee. NFL wildcard playoffs this weekend. The Packers and the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur on one of the things that stands out about Philadelphia.
I just feel like the defense is, they're humming right now. It's a very talented defense. You can tell that they've got everybody on the same page. They got superstars on every level of the defense.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper teens to near 20 this afternoon with wind light out of the west at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy will drop down into the upper single digits to around 10 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the mid-20s with a little light snow possible by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 6.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Trump there saying that he would not rule out using military force to retake it. It's not something that should be treated as the bluster. I mean, Trump is coming into this White House and is intentionally staffing his administration with aides who will not block what he wants to do or what he ultimately seeks. There were many instances in his first term where he wanted to do something, but advisors either convinced him not to or Republican lawmakers did. That is not going to be the same Washington that we are encountering in 13 days from now when Trump takes office. So I would treat everything he said there quite seriously. I mean, moments after he said he wanted to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I just thought I'd let that play.
Does anybody
just
have
a little bit as
itch?
You hear the lyrics of that song. Mother, there's too many of you dying, brother. You know,
that's what's making you scratch. And
so,
for
you know,
fact checking is out 50, the window.
Four that's years right. later, I'm still playing that song.
Can you say he doesn't
every
have
morning? And
okay.
It is
I'm
as relevant
to bed so
today as it ever was. But anyway, good morning to you, Calvin.
Are
how you
okay?
doing, man?
And I'm like, why wouldn't I?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm,
like,
I'm doing fine, man. You know, we're complaining
okay.
about
a lot of fire.
Yeah, we got
you know,
a lot of
what is it?
We are in Fuego.
Right.
5 degrees.
And it's urban fire too. It's
yeah,
not, it's not
man,
like
we could be in LA right now.
In the hills, it is like in.
It's warm, but
yeah, a lot of places. CVS
it's
down a really
it's you know those wildfires
down.
Man
we
you know you trade off
right
sometimes be
and
living in the Midwest
and we were
in the in the East
like
and you know us having to deal with the cold weather but man what they deal with in these warm areas they can keep
anyway
it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, so that means I am joined by some great people, co-founders of the campaign for lead-free water, Dr. Yana Lambrudino and Paul Swartz, co-founders of lead-free water, and Robert Miranda of Flack. Good morning to all of you. It's good to have us back together again. For those who don't know, this is a labor of love, but information that is being organized and brought to you. Life-changing and life-saving information with this group of just talented and wonderful people. Good to see you all again. Happy New Year.
Good to see you and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Earl.
Yes, yes, it's better to have you guys here. Hey, Robert, let me read this first paragraph and then you take it.
So I can't.
Because this is kind of what the subject is going to be about today. Baby food labels will reveal levels of lead and other heavy metals for the first time. Lead and other toxic heavy metals have been found in dangerously elevated amounts in some commercial baby food sold in the United States, yet parents have had no way to know if the baby food they purchased contained those high levels. I don't need to read any further, Robert. I'll turn it over to you, because I'm sure the American people can't believe that there would be these lead levels in baby food.
I can't.
And people don't know, man. What is going on?
Here's a service to America. I can't. I just.
Well, it's it shows the level of
misinformation,
misleading the public, not being transparent about what it is that we are fed and told to drink by our government and by the industrial complexes of this country and manufacturers. Our foods and our and the things that we ingest via juices, whatever. And you know, some of these laws that are now coming in, and this law that you're specifically talking about, coming from California, shows that there is some awakening happening out there in the country that people and politicians and legislators are starting to take note. That people are getting sick, and people need information. And so, you know, kudos to the people in California for drafting this legislation. I believe it's AB 899, calling for this transparency of information for the public to know what it is exactly that they are feeding, in this case, babies, infants. What is in those products. And it's a very important issue that we should look at, because it's also a kind of blueprint for us as we were talking about this whole thing with lead pipes and lead and water. You know, this need for more transparency in our country for us to be able to know what it is exactly we are buying and what we are feeding our families is a matter of public health, is a matter of health, period, for our families, so that we can ensure that our children are growing up without the adverse effects of products that we thought were safe. And, you know, food, water, air, those are vital to the existence of a human being. This is very important. And so, you know, the work that was done in California to make this happen is you know, I applaud it. It's great that they're doing this. But I think that we could also do this here,
you know, invade
in
other countries,
Milwaukee, when it also when we're talking about lead and water. I mean, we have to be more transparent to the public in regards to what levels of lead we're dealing with here in Milwaukee. And the public needs to know, because in the last year, when the Milwaukee Water Works, for example, released its lead copper rule required information to the public, not many people really understand that information. Not many people understand that even though the Milwaukee Water Works has met all levels required by the EPA,
and apparently
the lead content still in the water is still too high. Past the levels that the CDC recommends, past the levels that the EPA recommends, and the recommendation is zero. The last report that was put out there by the Milwaukee Water Works shows that in their lead copper rule 90 percentile readings, we still had over a 5.3 parts per billion level of lead in water, and in some cases, in one case, that reached over 20 parts per billion.
Right.
What they also didn't tell the public, and the public really doesn't know, but they did tell the public because it's out there. But the public doesn't know, and the public should know. That information should be given to them by the government. The government shouldn't be forcing us to look for it. They should be putting that out there. is that yes, Trump refused even to though they did using military force beat the requirements of EPA,
also Panama Canal?
Lead is still in the water in like, all of their tests.
Just, you know,
some
he's a, this is
form
just
of detectable
of
levels of lead was
this is the art of the
present
deal
in the water. And even though those numbers show that it's under what the recommendation is,
how many times can
of
I say
10 parts per billion, the bottom line is, and finally the EPA acknowledged that in this new lead copper rule improvement that they put out there.
Using military force, he said, no, I can't assure you on either of those two in response to whether he would use military Greenland. And also, okay. He said, we need Greenland for national security purposes. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it, but if they do, they should just give it up. They should just give it up because we need it.
It's a territory of Denmark.
And the people should understand that. They should understand these recommendations are not health based.
Right.
They are more for the convenience of the water utilities to be able to continue doing business as usual and not worry about investing their money to improve water distribution infrastructure. So I'm glad California is moving in that direction. I'm glad that this is out there in regards to what they're doing, because it is serving as a kind of a blueprint of how we need to be more transparent, especially when it comes to lead and water issues.
If you're just joining us, I am joined this morning by Dr. Yana Lambrinidou, Paul Swartz, and our co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Robert Miranda of Flat. And Dr. Lambrinidou, is it the fact, in your opinion, that part of the reason why they can continue to do these things is they don't fear any liability? They're doing these things and they're not fearing liability.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we're talking about lead in drinking water,
what is it? Sense of humor?
This is a contaminant that is regulated by the lead and copper rule. And this is a law that does not require water utilities to deliver water that has no lead in it. Even when water utilities exceed this EPA lead action level, that's what it's called, of right now it's at 15 parts per billion. Even when water utilities exceed that standard, under the lead and copper rule, they're still not considered in violation of the regulation. When they exceed that standard, and that means that when they find that there is severe and widespread contamination across their distribution system, they're just required to take some corrective measures, but they're not considered in violation of the rule. So you're right, Earl, that this is a regulation that we're dealing with that does not hold water utilities accountable for delivering lead-tainted drinking water, and certainly does not hold them accountable when people experience direct harm from ingesting this water.
So guys, hang on. I'm joined again by Paul Swartz, Dr. Yana Lambrinidou, Robert Miranda, and we're talking about lead in the water. 855-752-4842 is the number.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1-year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin.
for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote. You certify the results. Democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win. But that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Over yonder, what do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day is coming.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest, Robert Miranda of Flack, Paul Swartz, co-founder Campaign for Lead Free Water, and Dr. Yana Lambrinidou, Campaign for Lead Free Water. Tony says water utilities aren't required to deliver clean water. So, Robert, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to you and let you have the conversation and take it where you and Yana and Paul think it should go. So I'm gonna step back and turn it over to you, Robert. You take the conversation where you want to go this morning.
Well, that's a good point that
Tony.
Is it Tony?
Yes.
Tony? Yeah, Tony brings up because as Dr. Lambrinidou mentioned before, there is no real effort to hold the water utilities accountable the way that the public sees major corporations being regulated. You know, it's like there's these regulations by the EPA that are coming out to hold certain government agencies like water utilities responsible, but there's really no teeth in accountability in those guidelines. They call them, they don't say words like mandates or regulation. They say guidelines. This is a guideline. This is, you know, no, we've got to have some teeth in all those EPA mandated standards that should hold these water utilities accountable. The way we hold cigarette manufacturers accountable, the way we hold food industries accountable, these government agencies should be held to account. You know, Dr. Yana Lambrinidou says that, you know, the people expect that the corporations, mega corporations, the big industrial food people and cigarette making people are going to screw them over. But, you know, for us to believe and trust that government isn't going to affect us in the way that they do, that's very naive. Government is not looking, especially these days, and especially when this new administration comes in, they're not going to be looking out for the interests of the people, the common people, the salt of the earth. They're going to be looking out for the interest of all of the billionaires and the profiteers that are funding their coffers. And those are the people they're going to be paying more attention to.
And Robert, let me do this. So Tony says, can the state mandate, and this is for you, Paul, can the state mandate higher standards, or are they governed by the federal agencies?
Well, good morning, Earl and audience, and thank you for that question, Tony. It's really spot on. Back in 1974, when I was a wee lad, Gerald Ford signed into law 50 years ago on December 16th of 2024, the Safe Drinking Water Act. And that federal law was brought into birth because people were demanding all over the country that our government act to protect us. And what we've seen over the years of that law is that there have been some progress, but still fundamentally transparency and accountability, as my colleague Robert Miranda said, it's not happening. And fortunately, in many states, not in all, the states can pass drinking water and regulations that are enforceable and transparent above and beyond what the federal government does. So in many states, like in Wisconsin, the federal law can be the floor. In some states, the federal law is the ceiling, and the states can't go above the federal law by the constitutions in their states. So we've got some work to do, and people are going to need to demand of their government, of their water utilities, of their, everybody to do a better job. But Tony, your question is right at the heart of it. And the only thing that's going to move government and the water utilities in the right direction is people agitating when they have the information to find out that this is a priority for people in our lives, in our bodies, and to speak out and to do something about it.
Robert?
Yeah, it goes to the very point, and that is that you have the fox watching the hen house. And in this case, the water utilities are the ones that regulate themselves. They're pretty much writing the regulations, and the EPA is just passing it along. And so the water industry is manipulating the EPA into a situation where they're making sure their interests are protected and they're not held accountable. That's got to be reversed. The public needs to hold the water industry, the water utilities, accountable for their water infrastructure to make them provide fresh, clean, safe water to the public.
Dr. Lembenidu, what we live in a representative government. Why aren't our elected officials holding these people accountable?
I think that there are power dynamics in the water utility industry. Is very powerful and has a lot of influence over our elected officials as well. That's a big problem, too.
All right. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday, and that means I'm joined by the co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water and Robert Miranda of FLAC. 855-752-4842. More coming up.
Crystal blue. Persuasion, ah, crystal blue persuasion, ah,
ah. You're listening to the Eagle WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. La Crosse will have two municipal primaries on February 18th, while five of the eight elections for city council will be contested. First, on February 18th, there will be a primary for La Crosse mayor, which will narrow the field from four candidates down to two. There will also be a primary for City Council District 7, with three candidates vying for that seat. Other contested elections for April in the city include City Council Districts 9, 11, 12, and 13. The spring election will be held on April 1st. In addition to La Crosse's municipal elections, Onalaska will have a contested election for District 1 alderperson, as Jim Benash faces Tom Smith for the seat vacated by Sean McAllister. Only one candidate, Kathleen Lowendorf, is running to replace Dan Stevens in District 2. District 3's Stephen Knott is running unopposed. For Circuit Court, Elliot Levine and Scott Horn are running unopposed in Branches 2 and 4, while Joe Veenstra and Eric Sanford are competing for the Branch 1 seat vacated by Ramona Gonzalez. On the agenda for the La Crosse City Council on Thursday, a resolution seeking state and federal aid to help deal with homelessness in La Crosse. The six-part request would be sent to the governor, state legislature, Congress, and federal agencies. The council will also take up two projects that would redevelop Grandview Hospital and South Library into housing. Other items include several property rezoning requests, adding annex properties to voting wards, and a few clerical changes to city ordinances. Toma police said that a man wanted in connection with a Thanksgiving Day stabbing is in custody. According to a release, police arrested a 30-year-old man at a home in the city Tuesday. David Hintz was found hiding in a crawl space and resisted arrest. He is one of two suspects in the stabbing incident. He's been charged with attempted homicide as well as several other crimes. Another suspect, 33-year-old Justin Novak, was arrested shortly after the stabbing, which left the victim initially hospitalized with life-threatening injuries. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Demi Moore is getting rave reviews regarding her acceptance speech for her Best Actress Golden Globe. Moore won for her role in the film The Substance. She says the Golden Globe was the first award she had ever won for acting in her 45-year career. The actress says she was at a low point in her career when what she called an absolutely bonkers script came across her desk. She agreed to do the role, and the rest is, as they say, history. The holidays continue for Zendaya and Tom Holland. The couple, who have been dating since 2021, are reported to be engaged, according to TMZ. The couple shared the screen in three Spider-Man films, but typically do not walk the red carpet together. Holland says he was not with his fiance at the Golden Globes, so she could enjoy her moment. Zendaya was nominated in the Best Actress category for the film Challengers. I think they will each make a great first spouse. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper teens to near 20 this afternoon, with wind light out of the west at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy will drop down into the upper single digits to around 10 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the mid-20s with a little light snow possible by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 6.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, still concerned about the high price of groceries. We'll talk about Trump tariffs with Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. That's all on the way. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Just one.
watch him as the world goes by.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Again, my guests are Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Lambert-Nidu with Campaign for Lead-Free Water and Robert Miranda of FLAC. And before we, Robert, I turn it back over to you. Tony, once again, has some great questions. And so, Dr. Yana, Have any elected officials been receptive to higher standards, or is it not high enough priority for them to even get involved? And then he asks, where and who specifically should we be putting pressure on to deal with this issue?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Tony. And in fact, the state of Michigan has, after the Flint water crisis that I imagine most listeners have heard about or familiar with the leadership of former Governor Rick Snyder, did pass a state-specific lead and copper rule that, although not perfect, is at this point the most health protective lead in drinking water regulation in the country. And there's other efforts and movements around the country. In Washington, D.C., for example, which is where my colleague Paul Swartz and myself live, D.C. passed a regulation a few years ago mandating the installation of lead-certified filters at every single tap, at every single school, public school in our city that is used for drinking or cooking. So there are, and Michigan actually has passed a similar filter-first legislation for schools as well. So there are initiatives that are happening in different parts of the country, but certainly we're hoping that a lot more will happen. And as Paul Swartz said earlier, that requires the public's mobilization and working with elected officials to provide them the information and help them see how this is really pretty much a black and white issue. There's no scientific debate around the health harm that is posed by lead in drinking water. That is clear, and there are very clear recommendations by the CDC and EPA around lead in drinking water. And really, the only "quote unquote" safe level of lead in water is zero. It's no lead at all.
Robert, go ahead, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those are good questions. And I also wanted to mention that, you know, at the local level, there are things that activists can do as well. You know, when we first started this action here in Milwaukee in 2015, one of the areas that we pushed hard to have the city of Milwaukee change was this practice of partial lead lateral removal of the so-called private public side. And that was a practice that the city was engaged in, and we worked with former Alderman Oshade Hamilton, Tony Zielinski, Bob Donovan, and a couple others to put a resolution together and make a mandate out of stopping that practice, because the partial lead lateral removal basically disrupted or disturbed pipes, causing lead contamination to rise to significant levels. The other thing is I wanted to touch on what Dr. Lambrini Du had mentioned earlier in regards to the water utilities and accountability and stuff. And one of the biggest obstacles to accountability and holding water utilities accountable is the American Water Works Association, which currently has a lawsuit filed against the EPA in which the new lead copper rule improvement, the LCRI, that just came out in October of last year, has some really good stuff in it, especially where it relates to lead pipe replacements. And this American Water Works Association, the AWWA, went ahead and filed a lawsuit against lead pipe replacements because they feel that it's not really feasible to remove these pipes in 10 years. The cost, other issues that they feel is not just. And again, this is a water utility lobby that is more interested in the welfare and power of the water utilities instead of the public health, instead of the good of the regular common folk in this country. And again, they have put together various different networks out there. And one of those networks is located here in Wisconsin. And as a matter of fact, one of those networks spokesperson wrote an op-ed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel not long ago, talking about the crumbling water pipes. And even though it sounded very good and stuff, this guy is Dr. Theodoro, Manuel Theodoro out of UW-Madison, put this op-ed together talking about how he and 50 of his colleagues got together to discuss the future of water here in Wisconsin and around the country in relation to the lead pipes and how they have a 50-year vision of how we could deal. Nobody want to live with this stuff for another 50 years. That's crazy. You're talking about generations being contaminated with lead and water for another 50 years. That right there in itself shows the careless, the callous, the reckless way of thinking in regards to dealing with this. 50 years is way too much. We've been living with this for hundreds of years already. And this guy's talking about we want to move forward with another 50 years. That's out of line. And so, you know, activists in this state, activists in the city need to push back on that kind of language, need to push back on those kind of op-eds and tell people who don't have a real interest in our community, who don't sit with real people at the table and talk about how we can make this go away and get to the point where the community wants it to be, not where they think it should be. It's very important that people get involved in this matter as it relates to lead and water.
You know, Paul, the old axiom, you can't beat City Hall. But you and what you guys have been able to do in Washington, D.C., what do you want to say to people who are listening now, who are living in rural areas or whatever, and they feel like they just, this is more than what they can even imagine?
Yeah, so I think there's three important things really to understand as ordinary individuals protecting our families and communities. One is that information is power, and that finding out the facts about the lead and water exposure in your community, knowing that lead is in coming out of almost every tap in the United States, whether you're living in a rural community, off of private wells, or you're in a small community with a small water system, or in a big city like Chicago or LA or Milwaukee or DC, that understanding that your family's being hammered by this toxin that everybody can pronounce, lead, and though it's invisible and you can't taste it, that it's important that people know, first of all, that that's happening. Second, people have some power in their communities to bring up these issues and make them a priority and mobilize around it. And third, that there are other folks in other communities who have been on this journey who are willing to help you confront this power. At the 30,000 foot level, this is a really easy thing to talk about. Lead and water don't mix. When you start going down into the layers of the onion, you know, as we've been doing today on this show, it gets a little more complex. The fact that the water utilities, the American Water Works Association, which was founded in 1881 at the at Washington University in St. Louis, one of their first committees was about lead and water. And ever since then, they've been pushing back against regulation and for more use of lead and water in plumbing. And so it's not surprising that the American Water Works Association and the 4,000 water utilities they represent across the country have sued to push back against some of the strengthening provisions. Now, we can't leave that up to the lawyers. People need to talk to their local, state, and national elected officials and put this on their radar screen. And at the Campaign for Lead-Free Water and with FLAC and other folks, ordinary folks in communities who are organizing on this, we're here to help. And I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Lambrini-Du to add.
So Dr. Lambrini-Du, before you, Tony, once again, lives in a rural area, as you can see, very perceptive, says facts are good, but are there any places where people can find the impact of lead in their communities?
So one thing to add, Tony, I first of all, I want to second what Paul just said, and to say that the immediate first thing that people can do is to obtain lead certified filters. These are filters that are certified with the NSF certification of 42 and 53, and they are installed at the point of use, right at the faucet. So that's one immediate way that people can protect themselves from lead in drinking water, while also hopefully mobilizing in exactly those ways that Paul mentioned. Now, in terms of assessing or finding out the effects of lead on one's community, that is not so easy. And why is that? It's not so easy because, first of all, assessing lead in drinking water and detecting it can be a challenge, precisely because lead tends to fall into the water in unpredictable and erratic ways. So when we use our standard testing to find out, if a tap is safe or not, it is very easy to miss worst case or high contamination because the release of lead from plumbing is almost like a Russian roulette phenomenon. You might turn on the tap 9 times and have no lead in the water at all, and the 10th time you can have very high levels of lead in the water. Secondly, when it comes to blood lead testing, which is a good thing, and we encourage it, we recommend it, but it has limitations. When children are exposed, and all of us, to very high levels of lead, our blood lead levels can spike for a short amount of time, and then they tend to drop after a while. So unless the blood lead level testing happens soon after one's exposure, it is also easy to miss that exposure and the potential health harm.
855-752-4842. Dr. Lambrini-Du, Paul Schwartz, co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Robert Miranda, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Once again, every Wednesday at this time, I'm joined by the co-founders of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Swartz, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Due, Robert Miranda Flack. And Robert, before I turn it over to you, I just want to let people know that we are working on a powerful podcast of this program that will be appearing on Civic Media. We're getting very close to where this is going to be. So let's do this. Before we go back to you, Robert, Dr. Lambrini-Due and Paul Swartz and Robert Miranda, let's talk a little bit about what will be appearing and happening on the podcast that we are working on. Dr. Lambrini-Due? Can't hear you. I can't hear you. Let's go.
Yana, can I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Okay. Lambrini-Due. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're so delighted about this opportunity. Lead in drinking water has so many aspects to it. Many times it's presented as just a purely engineering or chemistry issue, corrosion control, things like that. In reality, it is, I would argue, far more of a social and political issue, and it's far more an environmental justice issue. We are really looking at a problem that is created by very serious power differentials between the people who are making decisions about our water and the people who are consuming our water. And there is a long history with multiple dimensions to this issue. Very important work that has been done by people both on the ground, affected community members, parents of children who've been poisoned from the water, but also academics, historians, public health professionals, social scientists, and others. So we're putting together a podcast series with each session addressing different dimensions of this issue, which we hope are going to empower all listeners to protect themselves and their families and communities, and to work hard and mobilize, exactly like Paul said earlier, to support their elected officials to do the right thing and develop legislation in their communities that finally pushes for transparency and accountability and first and foremost, public health and environmental justice.
Paul, the importance of this podcast?
Yeah, so media and its role in manufacturing ignorance has been really at the center of the cover-up and the harm that's going on across our country. And so this is a real opportunity, working with Civic Media and with you, Earl, and the Earl Grimm Show, to do something groundbreaking that busts the myths and the manufactured ignorance that's out there in America. And so we invite listeners like Tony and others into a conversation with us to explore how lead and water, this contaminant we can all pronounce, and that's been around and we know known about as a problem in water since Roman and Greek times, 2000 years ago. We invite you into this conversation. And as my colleague, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du and Robert Miranda have said, it's transparency and accountability and the role of media as bringing in the sunlight and being a cleansing agent for those things that ail us, that affect our lives, like this scourge of lead and water. That's what the podcast is going to be addressing. And we're so grateful to you, Earl, and to Civic Media for this opportunity to do something that no other media outlet in the United States has ever done. And I think this is going to be really groundbreaking.
Hey, Robert, your thoughts? Robert? Okay. Well, so so let me do this quickly. Do the lead pipes start to shed and put more lead in the water as they get older? Was the lead, was this less of an issue in the past when the pipes were new?
No, both new lead pipes and old lead pipes can release lead for different reasons. So lead pipes are a serious hazard no matter what their age.
Well, I want to thank you guys as always. Man, it's great information, you know, and Tony, thank you for great questions. And so we're looking forward to moving this on and making it happen in the coming weeks. Thank you very much. Until then, we'll see you guys again in a week. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Tim Cavanaugh joins me to discuss his upcoming show in Port Washington. Then TV's Mike Siegel and I discuss high school dance music. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what?
That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, California wildfires. I'm Sherry Preston. Police ordering people in the Pacific Palisades community of Los Angeles to get in their vehicles and leave as fast-moving fires jump from home to home, fueled by fierce Santa Ana winds.
For the local residents that may be in the area that are thinking about evacuating, if it's a thought, I would say do it. The earlier, the better.
Cal Fire Battalion Chief Brent Pascua, ABC's Alex Stone, is in another community that's burning, Altadena, California.
I have never felt wind like this here in California. This is like being in a hurricane, a smoky hurricane. You cannot see very far in front of the car here. There are people trying to get out, a line of cars, people evacuating. There are glowing embers rolling down the street. Coming off of the flames, there are homes burning around here.
The wind's so strong, fire crews are unable to put the flames out from the air. This is ABC News.